Today's readings are a continuation from yesterday. So I would like to continue to ponder this insertion of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of man, or this proclamation that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we have more on the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, and then more on the mission of the apostles to proclaim the kingdom. I was struck by today's saint, Saint Henry II, King of Germany. I mentioned at the beginning, he's one of these rare cases of a person who has earthly power and is also a holy person. It's rare because when we have earthly power and earthly advantages, that's what we tend to rely on. You see how Jesus, when he sends out the apostles, he makes sure they don't have anything. Because the danger is, if they have something, that's what they will rely on. Well, this King Henry was able to avoid that trap of relying on himself, on his earthly power. I don't know much about him. In fact, I even forgot today was his feast day. But as I thought about him in relation to Joseph in the Old Testament, I kept thinking, his story is probably a fascinating one. Because here you have a man, he's king of Germany, he becomes king of Italy, he becomes emperor of Rome, and he's got to be the most powerful person in Europe, at least. Did you read that little, in the Honorable Way, there's a little note about his life. He's married to a saint, Saint Kunigunde of Luxembourg, and together they lived in perpetual chastity, to which they bound themselves by a vow. Well, so here's a man who's got it all, and yet he's dedicating it all to God. Now, the reason why I think this is a fascinating thing to reflect on is because, I mean, we could make a caricature of him and say he's a holy person, he spends his time praying and doing good to the poor. But the man's a king. I mean, he has to deal with a lot of complicated social, political situations. What does he do when one of his territories rises up in revolt? What does he do when some of the states he rules over, they don't pay their taxes? What does he do when someone disputes his claim to power in this or that place? I mean, those are really hard things to deal with. And how do you do it in a holy way? I would love to know what his relationship with the Pope was, because here he was, Emperor of Rome, and the Pope was, in those days, remember, also a temporal leader. He had his own territories, and usually popes and secular leaders, they didn't get along that well. Well, maybe in this case they got along because they were both committed Christians, or perhaps even King Henry might have been a more dedicated Christian than the Pope, for all we know. But what about when there was political strife between their territories? I'd love to know. I don't know. Then the relationship with his wife. I mean, we think, oh, here's this couple, they've decided to remain chaste. They might not even have known each other. I mean, marriages like that were arranged by the families for political purposes, their political alliances. They might not have been the same age. It's not like they fell in love and decided to be a holy couple together. I don't know. I wish I knew, but I think it would be fascinating because it would give us an instruction on how to pursue holiness in the world. How to pursue holiness in the complexities of daily life and responsibilities. What's the holy way of dealing with worldly problems? It's not like it's, you know, written in a book. You have to figure it out as you go along, guided by the Holy Spirit, guided by the principles that we know. Those things don't change. But also having to take into account human nature with all its limitations and all its brokenness. For sure, there were people right in King Henry's own court who were his enemies, for sure, because that's just human nature. That's the way it is in a political state. But he's a saint. I mean, he did it. I'm sure he didn't do it perfectly. I'm sure he made his enemies and probably regretted some of his political decisions. But he was able to dedicate himself, his gifts, his power to God. Now, maybe that struck me especially today because we are reflecting on Joseph, Old Testament Joseph, the patriarch Joseph, who also rose to a position of extraordinary power. He started out as a slave, but he rose until he was the second in command under the Pharaoh. He had absolute control over the distribution of food at a time of worldwide famine. So I mean, this is a very powerful person, and he could easily have used that power for his own advantage. He could easily have left his traumatic memories in the past. After all, he's living in Egypt, he's got an Egyptian wife, he's got Egyptian kids, he's an Egyptian. And you know, living a good life. Well, along come his brothers, and Joseph has to make some decisions about how to deal with these wicked men who are also his brothers. And now the readings we have read in the Mass don't give us all the extraordinary details. It's quite a saga, and it takes chapters of Genesis. But we do know he tested them. He found out that they had been humbled by their own faults. They were not willing to sacrifice their younger brother to save themselves. That was what he found out. The younger brother's Benjamin, remember? So he had this, you know, kind of strategy to put them to the test, and they passed the test. They're not willing to bring more grief to their father, and they're not willing to sacrifice their brother. In fact, I think it's Judah. Is it Judah who offers to take his place? I mean, that's sacrificial love at work in his brother. So once Joseph gets it, that he sees there's a change here and there's really something he can do for them, then he reveals who he is. And his real greatness comes out in the last line of today's first reading. I am your brother Joseph, whom you once sold into Egypt. That's the bald truth of the matter. You sold me into Egypt. You did a terrible thing. But now do not be distressed and do not reproach yourselves for having sold me here. He's telling them not to be distressed. He's the one who got sold. He's the one with the trauma, the wound, and he's telling them not to be distressed about it. You see how selfless he is. Then this line always gets me. It was really for the sake of saving lives that God sent me here ahead of you. God sent me here ahead of you. You see the interplay of what of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. On the earthly level, injustice, extreme injustice and suffering. On the heavenly level, the plan of God unfolding in such a way as to save the lives of the whole family and of everyone. God sent me here. He didn't know that when he was sold. I don't know how he persevered. It takes great faith to trust that God is doing something good when something obviously bad is happening. But that's what faith assures us, because God is in charge. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So to constantly be aware of this is a great act of faith. I have to assume that King Henry II of Germany had that kind of faith to some degree. Maybe not as great as Joseph, but maybe, because he's a saint. And he must have seen, even in the messy situations of earthly rule, that God was in charge and that the best thing he could do was submit himself to the will of God, to discover and follow the will of God. Because that's always the best answer. This is the declaration that the apostles make when they go forth. Jesus sends them out without any money, without any sack, no maleta, what's that? Suitcase. No second tunic, no sandals, no walking stick. It's extreme, isn't it? I mean, we're planning a trip on Saturday. I'm already packing. I've got stuff, you know, lying all over my room, all the things I have to carry with me. Well, that's not wrong. I mean, we don't have to take these things absolute in the literal sense, but we do have to learn the lesson. Who's in charge here? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of earth? Who do we rely on? God or ourselves or earthly advantages? Who is orchestrating our journeys through this life and our mission in the world? God or us? The apostles have to know this is not on us. I mean, we don't have anything except what we receive from God. There's no way we can live in the illusion that we're doing something great here. It's obviously God. And that's the right attitude to have. It's just harder to keep that attitude when we have any earthly advantage. That's why King Henry, again, he's a great example. How did he keep that perspective, that faith perspective? Must have been a man of deep, deep prayer. Now, I'll pick out one more detail from the mission of the apostles. Jesus says to them, as you enter a house, wish it peace. And if the house is worthy, your peace will come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. This peace, this is shalom. This is not just peace like in a limited sense that we're all getting along. It's this profound security of being in the care of God. This is what we missionary disciples have to give others, that people can experience peace even in a troubled world, in a life full of trials. We can still have this peace, and this is what we bring. Now, if people don't want it, one of the key things, and this is a challenge for us, is to not lose our own peace just because people oppose us or just because things go wrong. It says your peace will return to you. It's almost as if it's a physical thing. but how do you describe that peace? How does peace reign in us? Well, if we're relying on God, if we're living by faith, if we know the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then we have peace no matter what happens. That's the life of faith. So the apostles are told, yeah, sometimes people will not receive you. Some people won't listen to you. Some people will reject you. And in other places in the gospel, he says some people will bring you into court. They'll even kill you. Well, don't lose your peace. Don't lose my peace. Don't lose the awareness of who's in charge of your life. And when we keep that focus, that heavenly perspective, then not only do we have peace, but we're also most effective because God can work with us, work through us. So, beautiful instruction. We ask Saint Henry, whoever he is, maybe we should learn more about him. We can ask Saint Kunigunde to pray for us, that we persevere in the journey of faith through the ups and downs of life in this world.